We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
To the Alex Jones Show. It's Sunday, November 11th, 2012. I'm David Knight, filling in for Alex Jones. But actually, we have a breaking report from Alex and Melissa Melton on the dangers of aspartame. And we have interviews that Alex did this past week with Ron Paul, Gerald Celente, and Jesse Ventura. And not the kind of horse race analysis you typically hear on mainstream media. No, this is Ron Paul, Gerald Celente, and Jesse Ventura talking about what's going to happen next when we got four more years of Obama. You know, it's been a real busy week this week. We did 7 hours of live election coverage Tuesday night, and we streamed it for free on Prison Planet TV. And then the next night, we followed up with another 2 hours of post-election coverage, also free and streamed on Prison Planet. You know, we covered a little bit of the horse race aspects, so people wanted to know who was winning, but we did something the other media didn't do. We pulled back the curtain, and we looked at rampant corruption in the election process. And, you know, it is corrupt to the core. Alex has had several interviews this week with Bev Harris with blackboxvoting.org. And we needed to stop putting so much hope in the federal elections and also so much hope in just one single office, the presidency. You know, when we do that, it just makes them a lot more powerful. And, you know, as part of the live coverage we had, we also did a lot of polls on Infowars.com. And one of those polls, we asked people, which of these is the most effective for legal and peaceful change? And we offered several alternatives. And interestingly enough, 51% of the people picked educating the public using alternative media. We think the soapbox is a real powerful way to get change. And, you know, one of the ways that you can do that is with a membership at Prison Planet TV. We provided this coverage this week for free. You know, we're streaming out that kind of massive quantity. That's a lot of bandwidth charges. But, you know, if you get a membership at Prison Planet TV, you can always give that to, I think they've changed it now from 6 people at a time. I think it's now 10 people at a time that can listen to the streams. And that's a really good way to pass the word on to your friends and family, help them to understand what's going on. You know, some of the other things that people thought might be effective, but they were way down. Like I said, 51% of the people picked alternative media as the best way to educate people and the best way to affect peaceful legal change. A lot of people picked state nullification. And we had a lot of ballot amendments this week. One that we were very disappointed in, Prop 37 in California. We were simply looking to see what's in our food. Wouldn't you like to know what's in the food that you're eating? Haven't we done that for decades with labeling? Haven't we talked about everything that's in the food? I mean, we talk about in the most minute detail. And, you know, one of the things that's going to be in this report, many people, you know, we have so much detail on the label right now. A lot of times people don't really understand what these particular ingredients are. And so one of the things we've got in this report that's going to be breaking later tonight is talking about some of these ingredients and talking about what we've seen in studies. You know, you can go through and you can look at these ingredients, and a lot of these things are very long chemical names, and you may not really know what those things really do to you, or, you know, when you consume them in mass quantities, consume them over a very long period of time. We do know that recent studies in France this last summer showed massive tumors in rats that were exposed to GMO. So a lot of people were hoping that California would set a trend and would require identification if GMO is actually in your food. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Maybe it was legitimate. Maybe there was something funny going on. You know, the big agribusiness spent many times more money on defeating GMO truth and labeling laws in California than they spent combined on Obama and Romney. So you kind of have to wonder if that was a straight up vote there. But, you know, it's been said that our power comes from several boxes. You know, the ballot box is just one of the places that our power comes from. It also comes from a jury box, a soap box, and a cartridge box. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit.
Yeah,
crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, he is joining us from the road via cell phone, so if he cuts out, he'll call us right back. Congressman Ron Paul, he's been a busy man out there speaking to millions of young people around the country. We're doing a great job exposing collectivism and the path this country's going on. And on this Friday edition, a few days after the election, we have a couple of minutes here, or 30 minutes or so, with Congressman Ron Paul. Congressman, I don't know how you do it, holding up under something that a young man couldn't do, but great job getting the message of liberty out during the campaign.
Well, it's been a lot of fun and tedious and, of course, at times frustrating. But what really gets me going or keeps me going is what everybody knows is that I have identified with a lot of young people, as you have. You know, I'm going to the campuses, and that's why I've never dwelled on D.C. D.C. is important, but D.C. is a reflection of what the next generation is going to be thinking about and realizing. So that's where I'm optimistic. Washington's as big as best as ever. But there's reason to believe that all the freedom organizations, your radio show, we're all making some progress and more in the last 5 years than we did probably in the previous 20 years.
I don't so much see it as a mandate for collectivism that Obama got reelected. I see it as a mandate that people have been dumbed down and that Romney wasn't really somebody who was really speaking out against Obama. But when you make the statement, Congressman, that the U.S. election shows we're far gone, can you elaborate on that?
Well, yes, the subject comes up because the big talk now is the fiscal cliff. And in many ways, I work on the assumption that we've sort of gone off the cliff. Nobody realizes because we haven't hit the bottom and we don't know what the ramifications are. But in the election, what I was thinking about at that time was that one of the things that Obama was able to do was play on fear of those people, you know, in the Rust Belt, who are used to artificially high wages and jobs and bailouts, and he played on that. So in many ways, it was those individuals in Ohio and Michigan and Wisconsin are saying, hey, you protect me, take care of me, make sure my checks are coming. And I said it's not a whole lot different than the way they line up on the streets in Greece. You know, don't cut anything, and the people who are on the dole won it. So in that way, that side of the argument won. But I'm not as down on what happened in the election because 12 million decided not to bother, which isn't all that bad, you know, because they decided they looked at Romney and they looked at Obama and says it's not worth the effort, and they know this whole system is rigged against us if we try a third party, so they just said the heck with it. And but I think those are our supporters. I mean, I think those are people who probably listen to you and pay attention to me, but they know that, you know, the current system isn't working. But I think we're the majority. There's no doubt in my mind, if you take people who have dropped out a while ago or dropping out now, not enthusiastic, wouldn't vote for either of them, I think they're listening more to what we're saying.
That was my next question. I saw some of the breakdowns in areas of Florida and other places where there were massively less Republican voters just not voting this time around than voted 4 years ago with McCain and Obama. And I looked at the numbers and the demographics. I think you're alluding to this, so I'd like you to expand on it, Congressman. Congressman Ron Paul joins us, if you just tuned in live here on this Friday edition, that it is the Ron Paul libertarian, constitutional, true America group that was snubbed and demonized and attacked and drummed out by the Rockefeller blue blood Republicans that just didn't vote. I mean, I know that I ended up not voting because of that. Richard Reeves, one of my crew members who was one of your delegates, he ended up not doing that. Most Republicans and conservatives and libertarians I talked to just said, hey, let Obama come in and bring in total communism. Let's let everybody really see what this is like. No more of these fake Republicans who are basically exactly the same, Republican in name only, counterfeit conservatives. I mean, what I'm hearing is people are voting by buying 4 or 5 million guns a month, and they're done.
Yeah. Now, people are hunkering down, and they realize this. And The big question, the big job we have is when the major crisis hits, the really big one, is, you know, there will be a revamping. There's always a restoration of a currency that people can at least trust for a while or are told to trust it, and they have to have restored confidence in a government. And right now, though, the contest is between us who would like very limited federal government and a lot of self-government versus those who want to march onward. Not to see, I don't usually use the word carelessly, but onto a form of, you know, just socialism. But it's a form of socialism that's called fascism, and that's what why I dread the combination of big government and big corporations. And when you look at that, whether it's medical care or the media or the military, the Goldman Sachs and the banking industry, that's who's been in charge. And they're going to hang on tenaciously. So our challenge is very great, but our numbers are growing by leaps and bounds. And people, because of the crisis, they're looking elsewhere because they know that these economic policy of Keynesian and the inflation of the Fed, they're not you know, confident that they can do it again. When these changes occur, if national socialism is defeated, they have no trouble becoming communists. In the communists in Russia, the KGB became corporatists. You know, all of a sudden that was amazing to me that in 5 years that you had these billionaires, and then I found out that it was the KGB that ended up owning most of the big businesses. They did have more of a market economy, and you can't complain about the Soviets falling apart, but really, many of the same people stayed in charge, so they're very flexible. They want power and money and control, and what they call it is secondary to that.
Sure, and again, the proper definition of Obamunism, which I hope everybody adopts, is the high-tax, big-government, economic growth-killing, centrally planned economic regime favored by Barack Hussein Obama, essentially the same as communism and socialism. And, I mean, if this isn't Obamunism, I don't know what is, Congressman. When you talk about we're already over the cliff, when you talk about, we are basically far gone, that's not negativity. That's historically being accurate in my well-researched view. But can you flesh it out? You know, you talked a few years ago about something big is coming. Break down where we're going, because I've seen numbers even in the Wall Street Journal that our per capita government debt, individual debt, is far above Greece's even. And right. So how you expect historically, you've predicted so much of this, what you expect to now unfold as we see the economy imploding just days after Obama gets back in?
I was always impressed with talking with the young people on the campuses and telling them how bad I see things. And then the comments afterwards when I would talk to them, they said, "You're the only one that gives me hope." And they come across very optimistic. And I think knowing the truth and what to do and offering them something else is a reason for optimism. But my point about us being over the cliff means that I don't work on the assumption that all of a sudden there's going to be an agreement in December or January, and they're going to solve spending and deficit problems and the entitlement. That's not going to happen. So we're over the cliff in that sense, and we're falling off. We just don't know the entire consequences of this. So I see the consequence being that there will be more and more debt and more inflation. The money will finally come out and start bidding up the prices even more stuff. And today I wrote a little thing commenting on the Germans wanting to get their gold holdings out of the Fed holdings up in New York. And I said, maybe this is the crack in the seams where they're losing confidence of the supremacy of the dollar as well as the supremacy of our political system. You know, we went through depressions, we went through world wars, and we always came out on top. You know, people said, and even now, I mean, we're still on top in the sense that when they have a crisis day in the markets, people will still buy those stupid government bonds, you know, because they don't know where else to go. But I think this idea that the Germans are saying, hey, do you really have our gold? And what if they find out there's gold isn't there? What if they decide to go along with our concerns and check and say, tell us where our gold is as well?
found us.
Congressman, moving quickly now in the last 10 minutes we have left with you, what do you expect Obama to do now that he's got four more years? In his victory speech, he talked about how we're a collective, we're not individuals, very creepy kind of "you didn't build it" statements again. He's got constituents literally that just beg incoherently for their free Obama phones. I'm not trying to be mean. It's just very, very sad what dependency does to people. And now they are just racing ahead saying, UN gun treaty. And now Dianne Feinstein, it's on record, says she physically wants California style, not just a ban on sale of semi-autos. They want you to turn them in. I mean, that could cause a civil war, Congressman. People are not turning their guns in.
No, that's right. And, you know, politically, they generally back off on that. You know, in the last several presidential elections, even this one, Obama didn't campaign on stricter gun control. That doesn't mean he won't work for them, but he knows politically it's not popular. And I think those are the, you know, drawing the lines in the sand. If they knock on the door, they want your gold and want your gun, I don't think people are going to give them up. But that doesn't put them out of business to harass us. They're going to put more limits on buying ammunition, you know, more taxes on it. They're going to make it more difficult for you to sell your gold or use your gold, and maybe have 50-70% tax on your gold. And they will do this, but that'll just drive the underground economy, to a much greater height. But no, they will continue to do that. So I don't know how this treaty will pan out. I keep always wanting to be, you know, a bit optimistic and say, they can't possibly do that. That's going against the grain. So once again, it's going to be up to us to reach people and not reach just our hardcore friends. I mean, that's why we have to reach out to a new audience as well and say that they have to join us in these efforts. And I'm hopeful for that because we do have the internet, you know, and I know they're trying to attack us there, but we're still able to get more information. Right now, we're riding high on our internet abilities compared to the three major TV networks.
Absolutely. Are you concerned about the internet kill switch, cybersecurity, and all these calls to reinstate the fairness doctrine for talk radio?
I am concerned, but I also hope that technology is so big and so broad that, you know, the private market is able to overcome any obstacle. So, and I don't understand exactly how all that works.
Sure.
But I hope I'm not naive to think that people can, develop their own protection. But ultimately, the only thing that counts, whether it's guns, the golds, the internet, or war, is to awaken the people to saying, we're not going to put up with this. Governments reflect the people.
Sure. Expanding on that in the limited time we have left, going to move quick now, Congressman, because I want to get to several other points here. I'm very glad to see that you've taken back over Campaign for Liberty now that you're not running for president and about to finish up there with Congress. So congratulations on that. Very exciting to see you in there because I know you know like nobody else can drive it right with all the grassroots. What do you make of the Republicans and this new spin that Republicans need to get more socialistic and become the Democratic Party to win, when the reason the Republicans have lost, in my view, is that they've gotten so unconstitutional, people are just standing down? That's what the numbers show. What's your take on this talking point we're seeing that Republicans should just adopt Mao Zedong's views?
Yeah, it's just diversion, because from where we are in this country today, and when we look at our political system, we only have one party, so we're already there. It's just tone and rhetoric is slightly different. So, yeah, they may move a little bit in that direction, and what they say has nothing much to do with what they do. And that's why, we have to watch what they do and where they go. But going in that direction, of course, would be the obviously wrong thing, and I think it's becoming more clear, because we don't know the exact numbers of support that we had in the campaign, but it's bigger than they gave us credit for. And I keep thinking of those 12 million that refused to vote. Some of them, maybe a large number of those, are sympathetic to us. So therefore, you know, our numbers outside are significant. And I still work on the assumption that it is that attitude that eventually sure. prevails. I mean, when the attitudes changed in the Soviet system, communism, you know, fell apart because it had no strength left and the people no longer supported it.
Absolutely. They can only steal from one group to give it to the other. And as it gets clearer and clearer that big government doesn't work, it'll finally implode. That's why we just got to keep working, keep getting the word out. Congressman, is it time for people to apologize to you and myself and others for talking about the Bilderberg Group and the Davos New World Order crowd? Because now in the Financial Times of London, Reuters, AP, they say there is a global government, technocrats, mega bankers. They're going to run the countries. They're going to appoint the leaders. They're going to get us at a fiscal cliff, hold us hostage. I want to play you a brief clip here from the Kudlow Report where they announced we're slaves to international bankers. Here's that clip, Congressman Paul.
So mostly what they do is hold summits.
I think that right now the question is, do we all work for central bankers? That's what I want to address to our guest tonight. Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge? Jim Urio, you say we've got some downside here, a correction in the markets. Fine. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do? Aren't we all just counting on the fact that there's a Bernanke put and that we won't go any lower than, say, 5% down from here?
Of course we are.
All right, let's stop there. And then all four guests agree we're under world government. They're bragging we're under world government, but then I hear we're not supposed to talk about it, Congressman. Isn't this our strength and not our weakness that we've been right about this? Instead, now we're being told we should not talk about this?
Well, obviously, we should talk about it. The fact that they don't want us to means that we really have to talk about it. I've written a speech that hopefully I get enough time to give on the House floor, a farewell speech, and I listed five major problems that we face. And one of those five is international government. You know, the fact that it's the UN, WTO, IMF, and the World Bank taking over, deciding when we go to war and how to deal with trade problems, the whole works. So I would say giving up our national sovereignty, it's bad enough that we've given up individual and state sovereignty to our federal government, but I see the giving up of our national sovereignty to internationalism, and they claim, well, they need the WTO to have free trade. They need the WTO to protect the powerful trading special interests, the internationalists. So, yes, that is a big issue, but don't hold your breath on getting your apology, because I don't think Chris Matthews is going to call you or Rush Limbaugh is going to call you in the next week or two.
Absolutely. Well, we only got a minute and a half left. Congressman, I hope you can come back again soon. I don't want to kill you, literally. You're making you work so hard, but thank you so much for coming on the broadcast. In closing, we just want to thank you for all you've done. And can you talk about also the vindication that they now admit all over the news, LA Times, you name it, that Al-Qaeda was put in by the UN and NATO and our government in Libya, now in Syria. We'll fade the music down for a moment. And is now blowing back on us again. Your comment on that?
Yeah, well, it shouldn't surprise any of us, because I think when that started and just at the very beginning, I made some projections on that. And before you knew it, the weapons and the support we were given to certain groups were turned against us. So it's I don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be a genius to figure out.
Very well said, Congressman. First off, kicking it off, we're really thankful for him spending time. And when he's over there speaking to a large conference, he's back there, I guess, in the back of the hall. You can see the big piles of chairs behind him. So joining us right now is Gerald Celente. And Gerald, tell us exactly where you are in Ireland and what you're doing over there.
Alex, I'm in Dublin, Ireland at the One World Chronicle Conference. And I just flew in from Munich 2 days ago. And I want to let you know that in Germany and in Ireland, everyone has been telling me, when you talk to Alex, tell them what great fans we are.
Wow, very, very humbling. And I want to say hi to the hundreds of thousands of people that are tuning in one way or another right now just to this special internet transmission. So thank you, Gerald, and say that I'd love to drink a pint with all those great men and women there in the background.
He said he would love to have a pint with all of you great men and women over there in the background.
Oh, man, I'm glad we decided to do this. Where do you see things going now here in the West with some of the developments in the economy, militarily? Hillary's now saying the news today that we've got to go into Syria because Al-Qaeda's there. And the media doesn't say, wait, the State Department and NATO put them there. I mean, it's things have reached an absurdist level that I can't even believe now. I mean, it's really entering cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs zone.
Let's talk about the wars, first of all. What's not making the news much is China and Japan going at it, thanks to the United States. You remember what I've said, how you keep playing back, you know, Great Depression, currency wars, trade wars, world war. The trade wars are heating up. The United States lost in Afghanistan. They lost in Iraq. They're destabilizing now Syria. They've already destroyed Libya. They're moving wars now into Mali and North Africa. And now they're refocusing into Southeast Asia. And now China and Japan are heating up. The world is heading to a war. Again, this is the global age. Everything is moving in this direction. People are hooked on their I this and I that, iPad, everything they have in their hand. They can't vote. You know, let's make this real. And again, have full transparency, total transparency for everyone to monitor it. Because the numbers don't lie. The liars lie. The whole game is rigged. They, as I said, they rob our money. They rob us of our lives. And now the great United States of America, these BS artists that are always talking about exporting democracy, you don't even have it at home.
Wow. Well, we're going to be finding out here pretty soon. You know, they're talking about devastation on the East Coast. Gerald, you've been in Europe the last week. What is your take on Hurricane Sandy and the horrible response of government? They claimed all these great things, as usual, couldn't deliver, and it turned out it was community centers, churches, and individuals helping the public. But I saw numbers, and I talked to listeners who confirmed it in New York, New Jersey, and other areas. More than that, the public made no preparation, even as they were told the storm was coming in. If the depression continues to worsen, what's going to happen to all these people out there that absolutely have to be taken care of or they're just going to go and die, basically?
You know, Alex, look at the people. By the way, as I said, you have loads of fans everywhere. And a lot of them are telling me, boy, we're glad we're preppers. We're glad we're survivalists. Hey, how come they're not making fun of them? Hey, the toilet paper of record. Who knows what I do? Pessimism porn. I guess you must be a porn dealer if you're a prepper, right? I saw that little clown, Krugman, bragging about what a great job Obama's doing, even though he doesn't have electricity in his house. The entire system is collapsing. They can't cope with it. Let's put this in perspective, Alex. This was a Category 1 hurricane. In real countries, you know what they have? They have floodgates in front of tunnels. You know what they have in real countries, Alex? They have subway systems that doesn't make you feel that you're in the whole of Calcutta when you go into the New York subway system. You know what they have in real countries, Alex? They have their power lines buried beneath the ground. You know what they have in real countries, Alex? They have real civil defense systems. You know what they have in other countries, Alex? They take care of the people. The people, everybody makes fun of preppers. If you can't see why you should be prepared now, you're never going to see it. Now, let's put this into perspective fully. Let's suppose that there's a real terrorist strike in Manhattan or Atlanta, or in Washington or San Francisco. Let's suppose that because of United States foreign policy, you know, they have those wonderful Terror Tuesdays when President Obama signs off, oh, let's kill that guy, let's kill this one, and they kill a lot of innocent people, and someone wants to get even. Suppose a dirty bomb goes off. Suppose there's a terrorist strike with a suitcase-sized nuke. Suppose there's a biological warfare weapon. You want to see the systems break down? You want to see entire sections of the country go off the grid? They're ill-prepared to handle it. What are they going to do? Put Janet Napolitano on a horse and drive out and save the day? They better get a Clydesdale for her.
Gerald, what's going to happen to the system, though, as not just here, but all over the world, the fraud of government and these corrupt insider monopoly corporations comes out? I mean, I guess they just think their police state is going to protect them.
Yes, it's global. As I mentioned to the conference here tonight, there's a leadership vacuum worldwide. Let's call a spade and call these clowns who they are and see how ignorant they are and how everything they've tried, they've failed at. You got Cameron over in the UK and Kenny over here. You got Obama there and you got Merkel over here. You got Rejoystick over there and you got Barroso now, one of the commissioners in Europe, telling people what to do. You got Draghi and three-card Monty over in Italy. You got one loser after another. You got Ben Bernanke. You got one loser after another that's destroying the system in front of everybody's eyes. And then they're telling us, give us more power. We know how to fix it. Oh, brilliant. The same clowns that messed it up are now going to fix it. The systems are collapsing. Oh, I can't forget about China. 66% of the Chinese companies that are listed are late in paying their bills. The Chinese government has lowered interest rates 2 times within the last 3 weeks to keep propping up the economy. They're dumping trillions of yuan into the system, trying to pump up the failing housing bubble. Over here in Europe, they came out with a new line, outright monetary transactions. For stupid people who can't think, we'll just call it OMT. Isn't that a nice name? That means dumping more paper money on top of other worthless paper money to cover the other worthless paper money that they can't cover. The entire systems are collapsing. Here's my forecast, Alex. I'm voting for Obama to win. Not that I'm voting for him. I'm not voting. But I'm hoping he wins. You know why? Because no one expects anything of him. So the transparency of this fraud could be shown really quickly when there are no other plans that he could come up with. And then we'll have to go into a new system, because the one that they're propping up is going to collapse.
And I watch all this unfold, Gerald, and I see the corrupt globalists fleeing the U.S. after they've engineered its collapse, and I commend the fact that you've said you're going to stay here and fight it out in the info war and then in other ways if need be. If we beat these people, folks will look back just like they look back on the French resistance against the Nazis, or just like they look back on the Poles or the Ukrainians standing up against the Soviets. I just wish that people that weren't historically or politically uninitiated, I wish they understood this is not hyperbole. Those of us that are staying here do so at the threat of our lives. This is not a game. It's not a joke. There's really three different groups of people in this country. I mean, you can break it down into more, but you've got the small, tiny insider, technocrat, parasite elite that knows the public's unconscious and dumbed down. Then you've got the giant mass of just people trying to work, muddle through, but they've been brought up to be continual children. Arrested Development, literally don't know how to tie their shoelaces, or the television didn't tell them how. And then you've got people that are actually aware of what's happening and are horrified by it, trying to wake up, you know, the zombified sheeple masses. And you've got the system doing everything it can to further dumb people down. And, you know, you mentioned preppers. Hey, let's make fun of preppers that were prepared in New Jersey, New York, and other areas, Pennsylvania, Ohio. They're able to take care of people now. And as usual, government couldn't and wouldn't deliver. Again, it's this instinct of the parasitic robber baron class to want a bunch of victims. But then they destroy their own infrastructure, which they have now hijacked, in the process of this will to power, this will to total domination. And the globalists all compete with each other over who can be the most wicked, who can be the most manipulative. In the final equation, it all blows back on them as well. I mean, take Prop 37. You know, most polls showed it 2-1. People want to be able to know what's in their food, if it's GMO, cross species, grows its own pesticide, you know, makes bugs' guts burst, but they say it's safe for humans. And then they come out and say, oh, suddenly everybody's for it. That's all just a hoax ahead of electronic voting machine fraud with that proposition. I've known that for a long time. But this can only work so long while they're killing us with this stuff. And so, I mean, I'm kind of ranting here off of what you've said. But first speak to, if you agree with the kind of three basic groups of people, and what's going to happen as the sheep and their master vampires, you know, as things collapse, try to scapegoat those of us that were proven right. I mean, you were called a pessimist porn dealer. I've been demonized and all these things constantly. But then everything we talk about, unfortunately, is unfolding. We're not happy to say the Titanic is listing and about to go under, you know, get to the lifeboats. It's sad. I mean, I guess Orwell said in the world of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
Well, it's what you said. Yes, there are the people that just follow the three groups that you said, you know, the elites and the others. And you asked me about my talk. And another part, then I show them the trends that are developing, where the economies are going, the great wars that are emerging. But really, the crux of the entire speech is that everyone has to find the greatness within them. This doesn't have to be the Ukraine. This doesn't have to be the Soviet Union. This doesn't have to be a police state. This doesn't have to be a revolution of bullets and bombs. On the contrary, you know, as Einstein made very clear, nothing comes of peace brought by violence. That begins in violence. So my message is really an intellectual and spiritual revolution. And there are a lot of wonderful people everywhere I go. And when you show them that they don't have to cower to clowns, and when you really break down, which I do, who the people are that are leading us and how unqualified and what psychopaths they are, that the only thing that's stopping people from changing the future are the people themselves. The people don't know the power that they have. As you began this, Alex, by talking about the small group of elites. It's a small group of elites. They are powerless without the police being their power. And once the police abandon them, they have no power. The power is with the people. But the people power only comes about, as I believe it, when the people work to find the greatness within them. So one of the messages that I say and what I talk about is I'm a believer that, and I'm sure you are and everybody listening is, that each of us have these unique gifts. Bringing those unique gifts that we have, working on them, because everybody knows it takes a lot of work to hone your craft. When you keep doing that, you rise to higher levels. When you raise the bar, you don't accept mediocrity. And when the collective, when the individual changes, the collective consciousness changes. I have to say this, Alex, with everything that I believe and every ounce of blood and truth and passion in me, the time has never been better than now. And I'll tell you why. You mentioned earlier that years ago, when you say 12 years ago, 10 years ago, there was voter fraud, people wouldn't believe it. And then 8 years, a couple of more people did start believing. And as it keeps moving forward, and then you mentioned the numbers, 80 to 90% of the people believe it. You look at the numbers of how many people no longer believe in government, in Congress. What is it, like 16 or 17% of the people believe in Congress? And those are the flunkies that work for them have the federal jobs. That's why they believe.
Sure. Some numbers are as low as 9% approval rating for Congress.
9% approval rating for Congress. Now, here's the point. The vacuum has never been larger. It could be filled with anything. The void is there. You have an empty suit and a stuffed shirt that's vying for the White House. How transparent can it be? It could be filled with anything. And my message is, let's fill it with greatness. The greatness of the people, the spirit of the people, the dignity of the people, the courage of the people, the respect of the people, the integrity of the people, and the passion of the people. Those are unstoppable values that the politicians are defenseless against. That's what I believe, and that's why I say the time is now.
Well said. Wow. Listen to folks there in Ireland. What city are you in Ireland there, Gerald?
I'm in Dublin.
Dublin. Well, hey, tell folks out there that I salute the great Irish people. I've got quite a bit of Irish blood running through my veins. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of all my ancestors. But I want to say this. If you go to Alexa.com or you go to Google Analytics, there is only one country. People would think that online I would be rated number one. You know, my highest ratings would be in the U.S. I'm like rated 480-something, which is huge, in the United States. Last time I checked, there's only one country where Infowars.com is rated higher. Ireland is where we're most popular. And so I just want to say this. We salute all the folks over there that know the euro's a tyranny, that know the globalists are a tyranny and hate the banksters and want sovereignty and freedom for our countries. So I salute the Irish right now. God bless them.
Let me tell them that. Alex said he salutes the Irish. He's got a lot of Irish in him. In InfoWars is rated higher in Ireland than anywhere else in the world. And that he's against the tyranny, against the euro, and wants you people to fight against the banker tyranny. And he is all on your side. And Alex, you should know this. And one other thing, Alex. If you want to show how disgusting it all is, imagine this. They're trying to introduce genetically modified potatoes into Ireland.
Unbelievable. I saw that. How disgusting.
How disgusting, he said.
They're not going to put up with that.
He said, you won't put up with that. You're right.
All right. Well, listen, again, Gerald, thank you so much. Obviously, we love having you on. You are hands down our listeners' favorite guest. There's a lot of great ones we have on Great Minds, men and women. You're my mother's favorite guest, and I salute you and thank you for staying up late. Seriously, tell all those folks that we just appreciate them, and I wish I was there with you right now. And in closing, anything else, Gerald Celente, you'd like to add from Dublin?
I think that's about it, Alex. And Alex said he wishes he was here with you. Looks forward to coming and visit you, and said that the reason that his number one in all of the countries with the highest rating is because the Irish people are among the most awake.
Absolutely, absolutely. We just showed those numbers. Very interesting. All right, Gerald Celente, give out your website one more time.
TrentsJournal.com, TrentsJournal.com, and Alex, thanks for all you're doing, and thanks for having me on tonight. All the best.
You bet. Thank you so much.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
And welcome back to the Alex Jones Show, the Sunday edition, November 11th, 2012. I am not Alex Jones. I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News. Alex is taking a much-deserved day off and let us run wild in the studio for a little bit. So I have a few things I'd like to share with you before Jesse Ventura and also the radio premiere of Melissa Melton's piece on aspartame, a follow-up to a story she did on the InfoWars Nightly News. Very interesting. Definitely check those out. And also check out the websites, InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. Get a subscription. It helps fund our broadcast and brings you more than the new reports that you like. So many new reporters, new faces, new things to talk about. So definitely check that out. I have a few articles here. You know, Alex always has so many, and he never gets to get to all of them. So I just grabbed a few random articles that are just laying here on this desk, and we'll take a look at these. Headline, globalists pull out all stops to grab guns after Obama victory. Now, we all know that it's no secret that Barack Obama wants to take your guns, not just his semi-autos, but he's even talked about shotguns, and I guess he just wants to leave you with a musket. It's pretty much the goal of the Obama administration. He's teamed up with the UN, and they want to come grab your guns. So for everybody who says, you guys seen the video of Alex talk about the UN gun grabbing with Aaron Dykes and David Knight. And we had the caller call in, and he says, I've scoured the internet and I found no proof that Obama wants to take your guns when it's on ABC News. We've reported on it several times, probably report on it again in the future. This is even a mini rundown of it. This report itself. Also have another one here. UN celebrates Obama re-election by pushing global gun control, says Second Amendment Foundation. So just more of the same. They want to come for your guns. And I mean, whether you're pro-gun or not, I mean, recognize that the Second Amendment in the United States is not only for hunting, it's for self-defense. You know, you have to defend yourself because when the founders wanted the Second Amendment, it's not just because they wanted to go shoot ducks or whatever. They knew that tyranny could rise up and come at them head on, and they had to meet it head on. You know, they couldn't, you know, call whoever to come over here and save them. They had to save themselves. That's why they have a Second Amendment. You need wartime weapons. And, you know, every time I talk about guns, you know, I'm an avid gun rights supporter, but I don't think everybody should have a gun. If you're jittery and you're shaky and every time you get a gun, you feel whatever kind of feeling, then you probably shouldn't own a gun. But if you're a responsible person of age and proper training, I've had training, not tactical training, but basic handgun training, you know, handling training with a trained professional. I think there's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, just keep that in mind because I have a feeling sooner than later, if it doesn't get to the point of door-to-door gun confiscation, which I really hope it does for everybody involved, they'll definitely try to restrict your magazine size. If you can have fully auto, even shotguns, I'll probably say you can only have two shells in your shotgun or some other type of foolishness. But we'll move on to some other things, several things here on the desk. Greek government defies protest to approve more austerity. This is out of Reuters. See, Greece's government voted by a razor-thin margin on Thursday to approve an austerity package needed to unlock vital aid and avert bankruptcy, despite an internal rift and violent protest at the gates of the parliament. So something we've seen all too often, violence overseas, and we've even seen violence here in America recently with Hurricane Sandy. You know, you have these, I don't know what you'll call them, not flash mob, but, you know, these many skirmishes of violence, people fighting over gas and food and whatever else. But anyway, that's about it for this segment. Definitely stay tuned for Jesse Ventura and Melissa Melton as she sits down with Alex Jones for a interview to talk about aspartame. This is the Alex Jones Show. So definitely stay tuned, and we'll have more for you coming up after this break.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I was just up this morning on the conspiracy theory website on True TV because up until just a few days ago, they were still debating, would it be the Reptilians David Icke episode or would it be the Tesla death ray? And right to the wire, they're saying it's going to be the David Icke special tonight. And I was briefly interviewed for it when I was out doing another investigation with Governor Ventura at rocket bases outside Las Vegas. So I don't know the full context of it, but I'm sad to hear the two guys tangle pretty bad. I'll certainly be watching it tonight. We're also going to have 2-hour special coverage tonight at InfoWarsNightlyNews.com with our great reporter team. We had reporters out on the street last night. It was pretty amazing that we're getting to the level now where we are going to be able to challenge the establishment outfits like MSNBC. Governor Ventura has not been doing interviews last month except with us, but he will be on Piers Morgan tonight. We've got some breaking news on that front. But first off, with former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura, author Jesse Ventura with his Demo Crips and Republicans book that's a bestseller. Let's talk about the election and your take on it, because I talked to you during the break, Gov. You said that you did watch much of the election returns last night. You've got some comments also on some of the propositions.
I watched because I was interested. I actually, what I hoped for didn't happen, but it almost did. And that was this. If you go back to 2000, if you remember, Al Gore won the popular vote, by 500,000, but George Bush won the presidency because of the Electoral College. And for a long time last night, it looked like those two were going to reverse itself. It looked like President Obama was going to win the Electoral College, and for a great deal of the night, it looked like Mitt Romney was going to win the popular vote, which is what I was hoping would happen. And it did fall short. The president ended up, winning the popular vote by a very slim margin. And then, of course, won the electoral by a much wider margin. And the reason I wanted that to happen was because I wanted the shoe on the other foot within a decade almost. Because I'm an advocate to abolish the Electoral College, and I always have been. I don't understand its purpose anymore. It's outdated. It was put into play back when they had to go to Washington on horseback, so it was the only way they could determine a president. Well, we live in an electronic age now where they can look into your backyard from a satellite. What the hell do we need with the Electoral College? The presidency is the only election in this country that is decided by not the most popular vote. Why?
Sure. I think the argument is the states need to maintain their integral sovereignty within the union. And so you do have a popular vote within the state, and then the popular vote renders up that particular number so that the states are still in control of it, kind of like until they came along with the 17th Amendment, as you know, in 1913, Governor. The senators were elected by the legislature and were creatures of the state, so that you had popularly elected House members, but senators sent by the legislature, so that you as a governor could go to the legislature and say, I don't like what that U.S. senator's doing. Recall them.
Yeah, and I disagree with that, too. You know, I just don't buy the Electoral College. How can you get the most votes and lose? That makes no sense to me. That, you know, we're one country, we're one nation, and whoever gets the most vote, it would have no bearing on this current election because Obama ended up winning the popular vote.
No, Governor, listen, this is the age-old.
I'm an advocate to abolish the Electoral College. I don't agree with it. They sit and tell you, well, if you don't have the Electoral College, candidates won't go to the little states. They'll only focus on the major metropolitan areas. I got news for you. Even with the Electoral College, that's all they do. That's a hollow statement when they say that, because if I were running for president,
sure,
and I had the opportunity to go speak in Montana or California with the Electoral College, where am I going to go?
California.
I'm going to go where the electoral votes are. So it's irrelevant. It doesn't make any sense when they use that argument. Naturally, a candidate is going to go where the most masses of people can be reached.
Well, I agree with you, and that's a great stand. We need to see that. But that's one thing that, you know, Obama, another one of the lies he told the night before the election, he said, look, I always tell the truth. I don't lie. We've played that clip over and over again. And think of all the lies, Governor. What lies can you think of? That now we're looking at Obama so we can move past Romney. 4 more years of Obama. The reason I'm really concerned about that, he can launch wars, but because he's the Peace Prize winner, they're not wars in Libya and Syria. he can continue warrantless spying. Chris Hedges, the Pulitzer Prize-winning big liberal, he says Obama is far worse than Bush on many fronts. I mean, are you concerned about what Obama can do now, not facing...
I'm not concerned about what Obama personally can do. I'm concerned about what all started with George Bush and was allowed to happen. Let's remember, this stuff wasn't created by Barack Obama. This stuff went into effect under George Bush.
Okay, well, then we should pressure him to get rid of it.
Criticize Barack Obama. Barack Obama has expanded it.
Exactly.
So he's just doing what was started a decade ago. Now, we need to stop that. They need to speak out loudly, and we as citizens need to stand up, and we can start with the drugs. Washington and Colorado are two great places. The people of those states, which I believe states should determine what drugs are illegal or not legal, should be up to the state. And if the federal now comes down hard on Colorado and Washington for this, we as the rest of the country need to step forward and say, hey, wait a minute, instead of sitting on our asses out there doing nothing.
Well, I agree with you. And look, you know, 10th Amendment, you as a governor know it better than anybody. This is the key. And while we have states, it's time for the states to say, hey, we're going to do what our Constitution and our people say. We're not going to have the distant federal government run by a bunch of foreign banks telling us what to do. And again, even though I'm not somebody that, you know, uses marijuana as a recreational thing, my issue is I know it's a red herring fraud. I know reefer madness is a fraud. I know it's got a lot of medical uses. And I know that the feds have no business, as Obama said 4 years ago, he was going to stop enforcing federal stuff on recreational.
It's a bigger issue than that, Alex. The issue is this. In a supposed free society, which we claim that we are, how can you commit a crime against yourself?
Yes.
You follow me? That's what drug usage is. If you don't harm anybody else and you simply ingest a drug, how can they arrest you for that in a supposed free society when you're only committing a crime against yourself? It's unconscionable to me, the concept that you can commit a crime against yourself.
No, I agree. I'm just saying the mechanism of the state is there. That's why we have it, to be a check and balance against out-of-control federal behavior.
Right, right. But the big point is that whether you agree with marijuana or not is irrelevant. It is the point of the matter of committing a crime against yourself in a supposed free society.
No, I agree with you.
You shouldn't be able to do that.
I'm just saying even the marijuana phobics out there need to understand this model of nullification and using the states to block the feds when they're out of control in the tyranny department is something that's really working.
Yeah, and that's why people should get on board and support what Colorado and Washington did. That the people of those states determined on their own that they were going to now want to tax marijuana. They want to treat it the same as alcohol. They want the revenues from it, and they don't want people put in jail over it. And that's the right way to go because, again, it's a step forward in a free society of abolishing the ability of committing a crime against yourself. Now, if somebody smokes pot and goes out and robs the bank, well, fine, then prosecute them.
Oh, yeah, well, nobody's robbing banks that smoke and pot. People drinking are doing it and using cocaine. But listen, expanding on that, we're about to go to break, but you bring up a really interesting point there. Government, as you know and you've written about in your books, has been caught shipping the drugs in to begin with.
Oh, absolutely. Well, certain facets of government, rogue facets of the CIA and things so that they
sure
can finance their stuff because, if an element in the government has to do something and they get their money from Congress, well, then they have to account for that money and they have to give reports to Congress and then it gets above board. Well, if they want to operate clandestinely and don't want anybody to know about what they're doing, then they're forced to get an outside revenue source. And that's what, unfortunately, drugs has been.
Yes.
They've created that as a revenue source where they can make tons of money, and that way they can apply that money to any operation.
Yes, Governor Ventura, we'll be back.
Devastating globalist lies, exposing the mainstream media's propaganda machine, tirelessly waging war on corruption. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6 in Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, You are the resistance.
Now we see the earth. We've got it. Now we see the earth now. We've got it. Now we see the earth. We've got it.
Here's my issue, and I'm glad we're talking about this here, just because I'm always right up front with everybody. And I called David Icke up, and I said, hey, I think you ought to be in this show, because we were having these discussions, and like, yeah, maybe we're going to go look at it. And then I find out it's all a big blow-up, and so that's why I'm just bummed out, because it sounds like, hey, go be part of this, and then I'm like...
The only reason it was a blow-up is David Icke won't answer simple questions. Watch the show and judge for yourself.
No, I mean, I just...
ask him simple questions... And apparently I'm too stupid because I desire a simple answer.
Yeah.
And he tries to make it seem like there is no simple answer.
Well, I think...
And I don't buy into that.
Sure.
You can answer things yes or no.
Sure. Well, I mean, we can stop talking about this because we have some other issues to cover. But just in the interest of time, because this video, you know, that we've got live going out in this audio, was obviously millions are probably going to end up watching it. You know, just wanting to know about this, especially once it airs tonight. It's just that I want people to know Jesse Ventura did go into this because I talked to him privately. We had this same discussion you just heard, and I'm like, "Yeah, David, they know all about that stuff. They just want to get it answered." And then David's the type where he said he was sitting there for like an hour, and he's a real nice guy. He's like, "I want to go meet Jesse." They're like, "No, you can't meet him." He thought it was a rudeness because I guess TV's changed since he was at the BBC 20 years ago. He was thinking he wasn't getting to meet you. He didn't know that this is reality TV. They want you really meeting for the first time. So while they were fiddling with lights for an hour and a half, he got angry. You'd been angry on the train, I know, and all the crud you had to deal with, not flying, and a bunch of stuff. So it's just like kind of two sports guys kind of got at it in the room, I think.
No, I don't think so. You watch it and judge for yourself.
I haven't seen it.
So. You don't need to build it up that we both had bad days, and so therefore the interview went bad. Watch. Again, I leave it up to the viewer. Watch the interview, listen to the questions that I asked David, and listen to his responses and see if you respond the same way I did.
I can't wait.
Give me, Alex, it's this simple. He beat around the bush and didn't give me answers, which I asked questions for. That is the only thing I got irritated over. Was that I traveled a long way and I couldn't get an answer. Plus, he was very condescending towards me.
Sure, I just talked to the crew afterwards, and Tyrell called me right after it happened, and then I talked to David and kind of got the same story. I just like both of you. I don't like seeing people I like fighting.
Well, you know what? We're not fighting.
No.
Dykes and I are not fighting. If there's a fight, it's on his end. I did a TV show. It's over. It's water under the bridge. I don't look at him any differently today than I did before.
No, I hear you. I just know it's going to become a controversy.
Alex, you're too panic-stricken. Relax. Go have a beer.
Oh, man. Hey, we don't have beers. We have cigars, Jesse. You don't drink.
Well, I'm telling you to have a beer.
No, please don't tell
me
that.
I don't need one.
I have one. I'll have about 8.
You're the one that's all wired up over this episode. Relax. It ain't that big a deal.
No, I know. It's just I'm always wired up.
And it's only one little portion of the show. I meet with the Apache Indians. It's much more intriguing than just simply my little showdown with David Icke.
No, I know. I am making a mountain out of a mole. It doesn't matter. Let's just move on here.
All right.
What is your favorite episode, if you have to say, or like, what are two or three that are coming up? Give us a little idea.
Well, of course, I love the death ray one because it's so intriguing to me, the scientifics of it and Nikolai Tesla and all of that stuff. I've been into that now for a little while, so I find that one very interesting. A bizarre one is time travel. You know, is it real? Is it not real? You know, dimensional things like that.
You got a little upset.
It's pretty heavy.
Yeah,
it's pretty scientific, this trip around on a couple of the episodes.
Well,
I guess the bottom line is this, and I'll put this out there. The bottom line is this when you do conspiracy theory. You're not allowed to ask the government a question today on anything and expect to get an answer. It's that simple. And that's the most disturbing thing about doing conspiracy theory, is that when I do question any government entity over any subject, you literally get the door slammed in your face and you're told it's none of your business.
That's right.
And that's the part that's disturbing. And that's what people should take from conspiracy theory on a real level, is that today you are not allowed to ask your government a question, and that's outrageous because we pay the government. They're supposed to work for us. It's not supposed to be the reverse. We don't work for them. They're supposed to work for us. And I think that when we come to the government with a legitimate question on any topic, there, some mechanism should be provided
sure.
to attempt to give a citizen an answer.
Well, they're becoming more and more unaccountable. Shifting gears back into Obama briefly, and then I hope we have time to tell one of your, you know, why you love golf so much, because I find that interesting. Do you think they'll try to impeach Obama over Fast and Furious and some of the things they're doing? And now Hillary, it was in the news 2 days ago, saying we need to invade physically Syria because Al-Qaeda's there, when it's our government and NATO that put them there.
No, they're not going to impeach Obama. He's doing everything he's supposed to do for him. Why would they impeach him?
Sure.
You know, no, I don't see any impeachment on the horizon for anything whatsoever. That's just the red flag BS from the, you know, that's going to fly around always, like the, with every president, it seems, it gets in there. Put it this way, they all have dirty laundry when they get there, or they will get dirty laundry while they're there. That's a given. Just like today, one of the reasons I don't think I can be president, Alex, you got to be able to lie. I believe that. I believe the president has to be able to sit up there, keep a straight face, and lie. Because they've all lied at one time or another.
Sure. And what was it, a week into your governorship? They said, hey, some people want to meet with you. And it was 23 CIA people in plain clothes from the community. They're not.
No, it was they veiled it under a CIA training session. And it was up to me. They didn't force me. They asked if I would go down and meet with them. And I, you know, at the time, thought, why not? Well, you know, let's see what this is about. And so I did. But, I mean, they didn't force me into
sure.
by any reason.
Sure, I'm just saying the CIA's there.
Training class or what, who knows. But I did meet with 23 members of the CIA, and all of their questions were geared to how did I get elected.
Sure, Governor, we're almost out of time. Golf, why do you play so much golf?
I play golf, Alex, because I play a lot of it because I need the competition with myself. I'm a competitive person with myself. I'm 61 now. I can't play other sports, so I play. It's me against the golf course, and I need that. I need that for my physical release. That's the way I am. And so that's why I play so much golf, because it's me against the course. I challenge the course every time I go out there. Unfortunately, the course usually wins.
Very interesting. All right, Governor Jesse Ventura, I'll say bye to you during this break. Thank you so much for joining us. Tonight, I wanted to go over the dangers of aspartame and some of the other additives that are invading even so-called healthy organic foods sold by places like Whole Foods here in Austin, Texas, that InfoWars Nightly News comes to you from. And Melissa Melton has filed a report dealing with gum to save the planet that's tied into Oprah Winfrey and other eugenicists that are involved in population control. But first she went out and looked at mainline grocery stores and what they're selling versus Whole Foods. But I wanted to direct you to two new studies just out in the last week and a half, published in the National Institutes of Health. Saccharin and aspartame compared with sucralose induced greater weight gain in adult Worcester rats at a similar total caloric intake levels. And we've noticed that the media has tried to spin stuff like this in the past, claiming, no, it just so happens that people that tend to eat too much also like aspartame, that's an excitotoxin, very toxic, and literally hundreds of studies since the 70s showing it causes brain tumors. And speaking of that, here's a new one. Just type into the search engine aspartame brain tumors, and you'll get the corporate media trying to whitewash it. But under that, hundreds and hundreds of studies. Here's one that just came out October 24th. Consumption of artificial sweetener and sugar-containing soda a risk of lymphoma and leukemia in men and women. And that's published in the National Institutes of Health. And that's the Women's Hospital at Harvard Medical School and a bunch of other universities, the public health program at Boston University as well. So there it is. Prestigious. Go look it up. Now, listen, there are literally thousands over the years, hundreds just in the last decade. Okay, this is well known. It's a chemical weapon. Now, here's the issue. You think, well, I just won't drink Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi or whatever. I'm going to get away from this. No. You don't understand. I've been to even the so-called healthy grocery stores, and they've got all sorts of weird GMO estrogen mimickers in them and aspartame. You go to the store. I go to the gas station. I've got children. They go, hey, can I have some candy? I go, well, let's see if there's anything. And I've been in hundreds of stores in the last 10 years with my children, and you can never find Orbitz full of aspartame. All of these right there breaking all of this down. Aspartame, you can see it right there. Right there on the last one that we were showing. Right here it says aspartame. Here, pan back over to the red one for me, Rob. Right here. There you go. Aspartame. And then it's got some of these other chemicals that studies show are even worse than some of the other gums. So you're looking at that juicy fruit. Now remember, these are not sugar-free. Does that say sugar-free on it?
No, that's
does not say sugar-free. And we're going to get Melissa Melton's breakdown on that. Trident, not sugar-free. Dentine, double mint. Everything I chewed in my life, everything I enjoy. Big Red, can't have it. Can't have any of it. Can't have any of it. And guess what? Big League Chew? How about Hubba Bubba? For the children here that you get on Halloween when you're out there. Right there. Aspartame. Aspartame. And a whole bunch of other stuff. Aspartame. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the facts that we're talking about here. And we're going to go to your detailed video report in a moment. But talk about visiting some of the stores and then talk about what you found at Whole Foods. But first getting into these and that whole stack of other studies from the National Institute of Health, .gov.
Right. Well, we went to several stores and we couldn't find one type of gum that didn't contain aspartame in it. We just couldn't find it anywhere until we got to Whole Foods. But we'll get to that in a moment. They had other things in their gum. And then if you go on the National Institutes of Health, I found 55 pages, full pages of different studies showing the negative effects of
aspartame. Just the links were 55.
Pages of links, full pages.
Hundreds,
basically. And so I just tried to pick the first 10. I mean, because there were so many that seemed awful. And I mean,
and by the way, this isn't, you know, some little medical center saying this. It's Harvard.
Yes.
It's it's the top schools in London. It's Chinese government studies. It's Russian. This is not debatable.
National Institutes of Health wouldn't publish it if they weren't legitimate. And so here we go. I've got several more here. The first here says multi-potential carcinogenic effects of aspartame. So that means there's carcinogenic effects, and they found more than one kind, and they were very detrimental. Then you've got aspartame-induced fibromyalgia. So chronic pain that people get, they think they have fibromyalgia, could be actually caused by eating aspartame, they found. We also have antioxidant defense status in the liver. It caused hepatocellular injuries in people's livers who ate aspartame. Then we also have the aspartame beginning during prenatal life increases cancer effects in rats. So when they would feed pregnant rats aspartame, the babies would have cancer.
Same thing with fluoride water they tell pregnant women drink.
Basically, yes.
Anything to hurt that kid.
Yeah. And then you've got cancer of the liver and lung in male Swiss mice right here with the aspartame put into their food. Oxidative stress in the brain. So it stresses that. And that causes methanol found in the blood. So it also hurts your brain. And you can find traces of different things in your blood. And then finally, I found one. Aspartame-fed zebrafish exhibit acute deaths. And the ones that didn't die who were fed aspartame had swimming defects with an increase in brain inflammation. So
it's an excitotoxin, as Dr. Blaylock discovered over 20 years ago. And understand, viewers, this is a life and death situation. The system created a chemical weapon. The Army discovered it in the 60s. Searle got the patent. Monsanto bought it and got it approved. Three times got it approved. Okay. And they've got other chemicals. It's not just aspartame that is in these. Okay. And your kids all day are eating this. And every amphibians, fish, mammals, they test them. It kills them. Okay, this is not a game. This is rat poison for humans. And then you go to the hospitals, and they're there to reclaim you. They're there to basically bring you in and suck all your money out while they kill you. And the doctors are so brainwashed, they're just little priest class people. They don't question it either, okay? I mean, you're under attack. Please continue.
Well, and then we went to Whole Foods actually looking for gum that didn't have aspartame. And I will say this, we couldn't find any gum at Whole Foods that didn't have aspartame. But I did see a lot of different products here that that have soy lecithin in it, which is an estrogen mimicker in the body, and it can cause everything from cancers to brain deficiencies to death. So it's genetically modified as well. I mean, over 90% of the soy in this country is genetically modified. Also, soy lecithin is actually produced with hexane, which is a jet fuel additive. So that's how they produce it.
Well, I mean, I remember hearing 5 years ago, report, somebody called and said, have you heard that there's silicone in the additives of chicken McNuggets, but also many other fast foods? And I thought, now, come on, that's not true. And I went to search it. It was like a 2-year-old article. This was, that'd be like 7 years ago or whatever, where, I mean, people watching just type in chicken McNuggets silicone. And I knew silicone, when ingested, I mean, just tiny bits getting out of breast implants was causing autoimmune disorders. And there was all those studies. That's why they changed it. And I was like, no, that's not true. And you look it up. No matter how crazy it is, you look it up, it's there. That's why everybody's fat and unhealthy. The studies, how this stuff makes you fat, because your body gets toxic and puts more water basically into the tissue, trying to keep it off the cells. You understand? But then the cells can't take in the regular water it needs. They're killing us. They're killing all of us. You understand? They're killing you. They know it. It's hidden in plain view. It's the White House science czar in his own book, Ecoscience, where he brags. You can look it up online. The whole thing's been scanned. They put stuff in our food and water. They're doing it. And there's thousands of these additives. This is their big one. And so we educate people about how it was in a handful of products. Their answer is flood everything. Kids everywhere. I sit there sometimes when I'm paying for gas or getting something. I watch little kids up there lined up with all their sugar candy. And I'll just start saying to their parents, hey, you know this has got aspartame. And sometimes they go, really? No, it doesn't. I don't get the sugar-free stuff. I know about that. I think it killed my mother. I've had conversations. And I'm like, they're like, what the? Oh, you can't have that. I mean, you've got to warn people. You've got to warn them. Nowhere does it say sugar-free. People have learned that's dangerous. Their answer was, oh, you don't like that? We're going to put it in everything. I mean, I don't mean to get mad here, but we've got to get out of our trance. What is it like for you to sit here and see this?
I mean, what really bothers me, too, is that, you know, some of these products that have the soy lecithin in it say all natural, nothing artificial, right here on the package.
And that's the stuff they admit is sterilizing people.
They do, yeah. It causes infertility issues. It causes cancers. I mean, it causes all kinds of problems. It mimics estrogen in the body. So, I mean, it can hurt you in a number of different ways. And they say it's all natural. This is all natural. There's nothing artificial in this. But we know that genetically modified soy, I mean, that's pretty much all the soy we have.
Well, you did a report where Whole Foods says we don't have anything unnatural.
Nothing artificial ever. And then they come out and say, well, you know, you can't get away from genetically modified food.
Again, we've just scratched the surface here. Warn people, don't be a helpless victim. So you know that the mainline gum doesn't have it in it. Get out there and tell people. I'll tell you a brief story. About a month ago, I was in a CVS because I don't have a grocery store near my house. I'm out in the country, so I go to the CVS. And I go up to pay for some stuff at the counter. And the guy goes, yeah, I'm the manager here. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, I know that was my store you put on the internet. And they asked me how I know my store. And like I was supposed to get scared that I'd shot videos in there. And I go, yeah, I showed that your nursery water for kids has huge levels of fluoride in it, saying kids need it, when the American Dental Association said 6 years ago, don't give under 6-year-olds this stuff. It causes fluorosis and bone cancer. He goes, yeah, I know. I looked it up, didn't believe it. It was true. And I went, so, and he goes, you don't have permission to film in here. I went, I'll do whatever I want as a public service. But the thing was, he was like in between, like, hey, I'm the authority, but hey, yeah, I saw that was true. And I started preaching to the people there. I said, yeah, they still got it back there. And he goes, well, actually, we're phasing it out. I found out system-wide and all over because just you have been spreading the word, not us. We're just here telling you about it. People are finding out what it's doing to their kids, and that nursery water crap everywhere is being pulled. They got like 5 brands of it. You warn people, okay? This isn't a game. They're killing these kids. And I'm not going to sit here and put up with it. I want to take our country back and our world back, and I want to arrest John P. Holdren and the rest of these eugenicists. Anything else you'd like to add?
I just think it's really sad that we can't even go to the grocery store and buy gum for our children. without having to fear that it's going to cause them cancer.
This is so cold-blooded. Well, Oprah Winfrey, you know, and the rest of them, Bill Gates meet in secret meeting to reduce population.
Yes, they do.
I mean, it's right there.
David Rockefeller.
And it's for them, it's saving the earth.
Yeah. That's how they spin it on people. They say, you're going to save the earth, but also depopulate the earth. They got to add that in. So
God Almighty, with our modern technology, they say people with proper medicine and health can be living to 130, 140 comfortably. You know, the U.S. population now is dropping life expectancy.
It's actually dropping all over the place.
They're killing us.
Western industrialized nation. I mean, they're all going down. Also.
Yeah, but people out in the middle of nowhere on little Polynesian islands living to 104.
True.
They're killing us. I mean, we're sitting here talking about how we're being murdered.
I can't believe Proposition 37 was defeated. I mean, that just broke my heart. That was my last shred of faith in the system was gone. I had like 10%.
Oh, you know it was fraud. I know,
but it's just, I can't.
Look at this, Mentos mints. The only mint you can get now at a major store is Altots. And I've learned they've got lobbyists, people pushing them to put that in there. Folks, you can't even get mints now that don't have it.
You can't.
Icebreaker ice cubes.
Pretty much the entire checkout aisle. Anything you buy in that.
Is a chemical weapon attack.
You have to look at everything. Yeah, basically.
Of course, you know where aspartame that's now in all the major candies and gums and mints? You know where it comes from? I'm not even going to tell you. I've learned if you tell people, they seem to really want to know. I'm going to tell you this. It comes from a genetically engineered little organism that defecates it. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you don't believe me. I'm just going to leave that for you. Look up aspartame manufacturing process, and it has to do with E. coli. I mean, you cannot make this up.
It's
Melissa,
disgusting.
We're going to go to your report briefly. Tell us about this report.
In this report, I saw this gum, the Project 7 Save the Earth gum, and I decided to look into what Project 7 does and also just some of the ingredients in their gum so that I could see what actually comes with saving the earth.
Project 7 sounds like some like evil masterminds operation.
Based on their website, I think they do feel like...
Oh, no, but I'm being sarcastic. Wow. It just shows how it's all in your face, though.
It is. It's very trendy looking. You know, they got the earth on there.
Oh, it's for the earth.
It says products for good right on there. It says Project 7, products for good. So it's like...
And that's the new thing. Get us to give money that then goes... I was looking at Lance Armstrong, who didn't want the research I gave him about how they're causing the cancer. And he told me to basically go to hell. I noticed or told the person I had given them the info. And I noticed that whenever I look stuff up about aspartame, it's like, oh, it's not true. It's like Liv Strong's out there telling you everything's good. Go get your chemotherapy.
Definitely, yeah. Well, and I mean, it's just the fact that, you know, you buy these things and it's almost like it's a guilt thing. Like, you should feel bad. The earth is hurting.
They guilt you now. Would you like to give $3 to the Cancer Institute? Mm-hmm. Who knows full well it's all, you know, engineered.
Right.
And I'm like, no. And they're like, no problem then if you don't care. You know,
But so I wasn't even, it was like I wasn't even surprised to find them tied to some Bill and Melinda Gates funded places because it's like save the earth, but hurt yourself possibly with some of these harmful chemicals. And that thing is loaded with chemicals. Aspartame, neotame, soy lecithin. It's got all kinds of other preservatives, sorbitol. I mean, it's just filled, it's just basically chemicals and a mint flavoring. Which is
unbelievable. And we're not even singling them out except for the angle tied to Oprah Winfrey and stuff. Okay, we're going to go to this report, and then we're going to go right back to Mike Adams after the report. Here it is.
I'm Melissa Melton reporting for InfoWars Nightly News. Project 7, a nonprofit organization, has come out with a trendy new gum product that it claims you can save the earth if you buy it. And while saving the earth might sound like a wonderful thing to do, upon further inspection, things are not what they seem with this wonderful new gum. It was found to contain aspartame, neotame, and genetically modified soy lecithin. Aspartame has been linked in studies to causing everything from blindness to liver damage to seizures. It's been linked to different cancers such as lymphoma, and it even eats holes in the brains of lab animals that it's tested on and eventually causes death. Neotame is far worse and in long-term studies causes cell death. Genetically modified soy lecithin has been shown to mimic estrogen in the body, causing everything from reproductive issues to cancer, to impeding brain development in people who ingest it. This gum wasn't the only gum we found to contain harmful chemicals. All right, so we're here at a store where we're going to see if we can find any gum that doesn't contain aspartame. So let's check. Orbit. Ew, there's something on this, too. Aspartame. Maybe it's oozing aspartame. Ugh. It's Orbit. Orbit's all of this aspartame. orbit mist, like a waterfall. Let's see. A waterfall of aspartame, actually. So let's try Trident. Trident White. Let's see. Freshens breath, good for cavities. Aspartame. Oh, let's see. What is this? Stride. Stride gum. Aspartame. Trident. Layers. Aspartame. Extra. Let's try extra. Aspartame. All of these have aspartame. Let's see. Wrigley's. Let's try Wrigley's 5. Aspartame. Dentine Ice. Aspartame. Let's see. Is that everything? Eclipse? Did we try that? Let's see. Eclipse gum. Aspartame. Let's try this sugar bubble tape. This is what the little kids like to get all the time because it rolls out. It's really fun. And it's filled with aspartame right there, bubble tape. So, as you can see, we tried. We looked at every gum here, every single gum here, tried to find just one that didn't contain aspartame, and we couldn't find it. Now, in addition, Project 7 has partnered with and given thousands of dollars to Kony 2012 war propagandists, Invisible Children. Now, if you'll recall, they put out a whole call for military intervention into Uganda to go after warlord Joseph Kony, who hadn't even been seen in the country for years. In addition, there's a little bit of an issue with some of the management there at Invisible Children, as we'll see as we go to these clips.
That's not your average crazy person going on a naked, obscenity-filled rant in the middle of the day. It's Jason Russell.
Now, in analyzing that, you'll see Jason Russell, co-founder of Invisible Children, going on a drug-induced naked tirade through town shortly following his Kony 2012 video release.
We want $1 million, so... There's here 100,000 for Haiti and 900,000 extra for me.
In that clip you just saw, Jedediah Jenkins, Invisible Children director of ideology, drinking vodka and talking about how he just got a $1 million grant for children's relief after the Haiti earthquake, of which $100,000 would go to the children and $900,000 he would keep for himself. Really makes you feel like you want to donate money to these guys. Now, in addition, Project 7 has also partnered and funds two organizations that are co-funded by known elite eugenicist Bill Gates and his Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And Oprah has recently been seen giving out water from Project 7 at some of her events. As you might recall, Oprah likes to take part in secret meetings with known eugenicists Ted Turner, Warren Buffett, and David Rockefeller, and Bill Gates, where population control seems to be the constant topic of discussion.
The price of admission is $1 billion and a philanthropic heart, and that meets the pricey requirements recently held in a secret meeting, a private meeting in New York City.
Behind closed doors on this New York campus, a secret gathering of some of the world's most powerful people. Gates, Buffett, Bloomberg, Winfrey. It was like, well, it was like the Super Friends.
So there you have it. Companies like to sell you the trendy idea of saving the earth, that you're going to do something great, it's going to be really good. And in the meantime, you're also co-funding eugenicist organizations and organizations run by corrupt people. And you could potentially be hurting yourself with harmful chemicals. So check those labels, guys. I'm Melissa Melton reporting for InfoWars Nightly News.